Okay, everyone, this is Melanie Jordan, everybody's infopreneur coach and host of What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know, the podcast. I'm also the author of What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know, Achieving the Life You're Meant to Have by Making Money from What You Know, and that's available at whatyouknowisworthmorebook.com. Tonight we've got another teleseminar in my What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know free teleseminar series that's brought to you by newmediatranscription.com, and during this call I'm switching roles. We're going to be discussing my book, What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know, and I'm really pleased to have on the line my friend, colleague, and fellow author of Be the Media, David Matheson. And by the way, David's book is available at bethemedia.com. I have a copy. You should check that out as well. And I'm going to be turning the reins over to him for the call shortly, since he's going to be the one interviewing me, and then we'll share some of the backstory of What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know and teach you a few things about infopreneuring in the process. So how are you doing tonight, David?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Melanie. I hope we get a nice, large audience out there listening. So.
Yeah, we see. I definitely see some nice numbers here. And then, of course, the only thing with Web 2.0 is you do get a ton of people that listen after the fact, because not everybody can join us live. But I'm happy to have everybody who's on the line. We've got a great turnout. And I know that thousands of people are going to hear it later on. So hopefully we can enlighten people and share some good words of wisdom tonight.
Sounds great, Melanie. And we're like-minded allies in that we're both really trying to help, you know, content creators and employees. This is such a tough time in the economy. And some of the things that you practice and that you preach and practice, you know, really can help laid-off employees and entrepreneurs, self-employed professionals, and, you know, authors, speakers, and coaches. So I'm really pleased to be here tonight to chat with you. So I know a little bit about your background, but I was always wondering, this is really a big work. I mean, this is a lot of chapters and a lot of material that can really help people. But what drove you to write What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know?
Well, you know, that was kind of an interesting story. What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know was supposed to be my sixth book within 2 years after I started doing my entrepreneurial work and my writing. And, you know, I almost hate to admit this, but it took me 7 more years to finish it, which is really, you know, due to some rare situations that I explain in the book. But, you know, overall, I'm really glad it took me that long, because through that time period, I had all these different life experiences and all these different business life lessons that I kind of ended up, you know, having them take place in my life, whether I liked it or not at times. And they all really brought me to where I am today. And it really put me in a position to make this book even better than it would have been had I written and finished it back then. Plus also technology and a lot of things that make infopreneuring more possible than ever are in existence today that weren't in existence back then. But, you know, really it was all about empowerment, as we always talk about, because we both have that in common, both have that empowerment messages of content and of life in our works, and basically teaching people to avoid missed opportunities. Like, I've been very lucky because I did my corporate time, as I like to say. You know, I'm not exactly saying it was prison, but did my corporate time, and I've been very lucky because I've been able to create the flexible work-based life that I've always really wanted to lead. You know, I mean, I'm blessed. I get to spend my days working on the topics I'm passionate about, and by doing so, I can help others do the same if they open their minds a bit. Because most people, and I know you found this in common too, David, they just don't realize that their knowledge can really be valuable to others. They think, oh, well, what do I know? You know, I don't have this advanced degree. I don't, you know, have this credential or something. But, you know, I always say, and you know from the opening line of my podcast each week, What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know, the podcast, you know, I believe that everyone knows something that's worth something to others. And you know, as you just point out, never been more true than it is now, because people have been spending their entire work lives perfecting their knowledge in a certain field, and because of the whims of corporate America, all of a sudden these people are being laid off. They're finding that their knowledge isn't valued the way it was before. But, you know, a salary is not your true measure of your knowledge. Then there are people wondering, you know, they're employed, but they're, you know, honestly, they're living their work days and they're just, they're nervous, you know, they're shell-shocked. They're wondering, you know, are we going to be next? You know, what's going to happen? And they really have no plan B for what's going to happen if it does take place. Then, you know, and these are the coordinates I want to speak to in the book. Then there's two more. There's the businesses that some of them are struggling, or maybe they're successful, but they don't realize that they've got this hidden secondary income stream through infopreneuring that they just haven't tapped into. And in this economy, you know, every business could benefit from a second income stream. And then I guess the last group that I really wanted to help out and empower was all the content creators out there. And you're a big content creator like I am, David. And, you know, I wanted to talk to and kind of grab and shake some of the authors and bloggers and podcasters, speakers and coaches out there, because I find that most of them, they get so focused on their core content creation method. For example, an author, you know, like me and how I used to be, we focus on the written word. You know, a speaker will focus on speaking, hence they're called a speaker. Coach might only focus on being interactive with a client. But in doing so, they're always leaving money on the table. And, you know, quite honestly, I want to help them stop. So it's these three groups of people. It's employees, it's laid off employees, entrepreneurs, small businesses and professionals, and content creators, you know, that I wanted them to realize that their knowledge is the key to living an empowered life where they're going to be in control of their livelihood. They're going to be in control of their destiny. And once they get that idea, then I can also teach them, and which I actually do in the book, how they can achieve maximum audience and revenue for that unique knowledge. You know, and while What You Know Is Worth More Than you know, definitely has its share of motivation and inspiration, because I believe in that strongly, and I know you do the same thing. It's a very practical step-by-step information-packed 38 chapter how-to guide for infopreneuring, marketing, social media, and new media. So kind of it was really, when you come down to it, all about empowerment and really tapping into one's knowledge.
And that quote is really worth repeating. Everyone knows something that's worth something to others. And, you know, I think you're right in those three large groups, employees, number two, laid-off employees, and entrepreneurs, self-employed professionals. And then the big one, you know, the content creators, because everyone today is a content creator. You know, all from authors and speakers or coaches and trainers, you've also got all the social media folks out there using blogs and podcasts. And journalists, too, you know, their field is crumbling, cratering around them, and they're looking for ways to generate income from what they know. So, you know, it's a pretty large group of people that you're helping, and we're blessed with you sharing your knowledge, Melanie, and, again, putting so much into your work, and not just the print version, but the podcast and other versions. So if I were to, you know, recommend to someone to pick up your book, What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know, what would be a chapter? What's your favorite chapter, Melanie?
My favorite chapter? You know, it's hard. You know, I think I know. I have to tell you the truth. You know, I've never had my own child, although I have some wonderful nieces. But I think I know how, like, you know, parents feel if they have multiple children and, you know, they don't want to play favorites because, you know, they love them all. I kind of feel the same way about the book. You know, I am very proud of the way it all came out. I work really hard on it. And I work very hard to not just teach, but I like to be entertaining. You know, sometimes I'll use the term infotainment. And I want to make sure that not only do people learn, but they also are entertained and motivated at the same time. So I kind of do a different style of writing than probably a lot of people are used to in a nonfiction work. But it's kind of hard to pick a couple. I mean, I really love sharing my story in an infopreneur's journey and life lessons learned, because that was almost like writing a bit of my autobiography over the last 8 years, just captured in a few pages here and there in that chapter. And then the other one, of course, because it's near and dear to my heart, because it's where I came from and kind of how I got here, is one of three chapters I use as wake-up calls in the beginning of the book to each of the core audiences we just discussed, and especially the one Straight Talk for Employees and Those Who've Been Laid Off. I really like that one because that's basically my chapter to sort of wake you up. Anybody who's not getting this message yet and realizes they have to empower themselves, I have a heart-to-heart with them because I've been directly in that situation and had the rug pulled out from under me, so I feel for it. But from a how-to perspective and the actual, of course, you know, people will be like, okay, well, that's nice, but, you know, how do you show me to make the money, Melanie? Obviously, there's most of the book is about that. And basically, I would have to say that my favorite chapter for that part of it would definitely be the chapter on my infopreneur business model. So I guess that kind of gives people a snapshot of some of my favorites.
Yeah, and we'll get into infopreneuring. There may be some on the call who aren't familiar with the term.
Absolutely.
And I'd certainly love to get your definition and what you feel about, you know, the possibilities for people in that field, and especially even Second Life and part-time work in that field. And so we'll get to that. But, you know, this is a tough time all around, and people, highly qualified people, everyone, you know, in the old days, you could actually be, you know, laid off for being unqualified. These days, you know, even people with serious resumes and lots of contacts and decades of experience in certain industries are feeling the same pinch. They're getting laid off. And, you know, they're looking around trying to find opportunities out there. And I think your book and your work give people an answer. But, you know, you shared a lot of your personal ups and downs in the preface to the book, and you know, you mentioned that you had been laid off. So I think, you know, for those on the call who might get some benefit from that, what was it like when you got laid off, before we get into the book in a little bit more detail?
Okay, yeah, sure. No, I'd be happy to do that. I mean, basically what happened back then was, I mean, the year was the first time I was laid off twice in my corporate career. The first time I was laid off was 1997, and it was actually good economic times. You know, it wasn't like we have today. And, you know, I was always doing a wonderful job, and I was a VP of marketing and everything. And basically, you know, I got caught up in one bank merger too many. And it's kind of interesting because history is sort of repeating itself, although except this time they're letting the banks fail first and then somebody takes it over. But basically, there's this second wave of mergers and a free reign with a lot of banks acquiring other banks. And that's what it was like back then. And I basically made it through one bank failure back in the early 90s when the last real estate crisis came, and then I made it through three more mergers, and actually I worked for the same bank. I actually never changed desks. It's just that they acquired, you know, they just became three different of the major banks back in New York where you are, David. And what happened was I got caught up in one too many, and, you know, it didn't matter, you know, what was the situation. Technically, in that scenario, my bank actually acquired another, but it seemed like they wanted to give a bone to the other side. So they said, oh, you know what? All right, you know what? I guess marketing, that's no big deal, right? That doesn't make any money. You guys, you can have marketing. So they gave it to the other people, and then basically at that point, we were like POWs. So it was only a matter of time, you know, before they just decide, well, we want our people in. And it's like, yeah, we'll cut your program. We'll cut this. We'll cut that. And next thing you know, I'm laid off despite, you know, having a great, you know, record, having a ton of knowledge and marketing and all this other stuff. Then what happened was, you know, I wasn't prepared for it. And the funny thing is that I'm like a lot of people out there today, and I really want to hit this home because a lot of people out there today who think, A, it can't happen to them, and B, they actually see it coming. And I kind of was a little like that because you knew it was inevitable, but yet you somehow believed well, you know what, good work and knowledge was going to win now. And right. You know what? Good work and knowledge doesn't always win the day, you know, especially at the whims of the corporate world. So I really wasn't prepared. So the rug kind of got pulled out from under me. They finally spoke the words, you know, congratulations, you've been terminated due to merger. And I was kind of at a loss. And even though the job market wasn't, you know, that bad, it really affected me deeply because, you know, I was hurt. You know, I was wounded. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I want to share my knowledge with somebody so quick right now. I've been burned. So, it took me a little bit to kind of figure out what I was going to do. And I actually, you know, did some work that was self-employed for a while because I just did not want to go back into that world. Eventually, I did, you know, for economic reasons, and I didn't have my entrepreneurial stuff back then. And ironically, I had all the time in the world to write back then when I was laid off, and I couldn't. I was just blocked. I couldn't do it. So kind of that, you know, went back under someday. So I went back into the world again. I kind of went back and forth between, you know, periods of self-employment and employment. And then the second time it happened to me, and it was good and bad. The second time it happened to me the day after I got my best performance review, the best one I could possibly give at the company. And they just said, well, you know what, we've decided to consolidate, you know, some of our teams. I was doing training for a big company. And they said, we kind of decided to consolidate some of our teams. And what they did was they said, okay, well, you know, sorry, that was it. And that was in 2007. And the only difference, though, between that time and this time is I had my entrepreneuring going on the side the whole time. So I had been doing it for several years on the side, and I actually was sort of chomping at the bit to go full-time. But, you know, it was one of those things that's like, well, you know, is it really the time? Is it not the time? And basically, to me, it was a sign. You know what? It's time. So this time I had my plan B going. I just took my company full-time. And now, you know, in addition to obviously my work as an author, I also do, you know, coaching, and I do freelance work as well. And I have my media property. So I have an entity. And, you know, now I never look back, and I don't ever intend to.
Yeah.
So the difference between having a plan B and not, you know?
Yeah. And we're talking to Melanie Jordan, the author of What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know. And she's had a successful career and turned that into an even more successful career as an infopreneur. And I think, you know, for anyone who's never heard that term before, you know, how do you define that? And do you believe anyone can be an infopreneur? You've done it very successfully, both part-time and full-time. But can anyone do this?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, David. I really do, because it really goes back to that whole idea that everyone knows something that's worth something to others. Let's talk for a minute just to find, just make sure everybody on the call is on the same page, because, again, I can't assume, like you rightfully are saying, that everybody knows the term. Basically, infopreneur is a term that's coined from the words entrepreneur and information, and it usually refers to any entrepreneur who earns money by selling information. And today, of course, refers to primarily someone who sells that information on the internet. But, it didn't really just start with that. I mean, when you go way back, and they used to do back-of-the-room sales, and, of course, there are still live speakers out there, but, it was really the only way to go. You had your back-room sales. I mean, you had, audio tapes, if anybody remembers those. I'm not going to even say 8-track tapes. CDs, video tapes, printed booklets and things, manuals at all these events. Basically that stuff is now all online. You can still do that, but a lot of people, it's so much easier, and you open up to a worldwide audience very easily and economically going online. So basically, though, I like to define it very differently, because there are some people out there who call themselves infopreneurs or think they're doing the same thing, and I don't agree with that. So basically, I define an infopreneur as a content creator whose original work is derived from their knowledge. Original is a key word there. And it's basically their expertise about anything someone would value learning. And the key thing is, a lot of people think, like, as I mentioned before, well, what do I really know? Or some people say to me, Melanie, I'm not really sure what I know. And I just look at it and I say, I really defy anybody to come to me with their situation, tell me something about their life and what they've done, and that they don't have something saleable within them. They have to. You're living. You're breathing. You've experienced something in life. There's something you definitely know. It may be a manual trade. It may be something that's a life thing. Maybe something to do with how you live your life. You're great at a particular thing. Maybe you're great at raising kids. You're great at playing bingo. I don't know. Maybe it's a sport. It's a hobby. Whatever it is, it could be, crocheting. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily have to be a professional field of expertise or a business field of expertise, because absolutely some of those could be maybe a little higher monetarily rewarded. But you know what? If you've got, the way to do some special technique for something somebody's interested in, they want to learn it and they think you're the real deal, they will pay you for what you know. So absolutely, I believe anybody can be an infopreneur.
And, you talk a lot in the book when the infopreneur is creating something, the difference between, or maybe you should define it for us, what do you see as the difference between an information product and an information service? And,
sure.
And are they mutual exclusive? Should people be using both of these or one or the other?
Well, basically, I'm glad you asked that, because that's one of the three ways that my approach to infopreneuring differs from other people. Let's kind of define each one so that, everybody can keep it straight in their head. And, absolutely, they're not mutually exclusive. In fact, I want them to be mutually inclusive. just to give you a couple examples and keep your head, everybody, an information product is something that's a special report, for example, an e-book, a transcript, an audio-video recording. These are your 24/7 make money while you sleep products that you hear about. That's all the rage. The difference to me is there are also what I like to call information services. And some people still call them information products, but I don't agree. An information service is something like coaching, consulting, training, like the teleseminar David and I are doing right now, webinars, or basically literally just doing what you know for others. For example, like if I ghostwrite something for a client or brainstorm an information product and service line or help them with their marketing, here you have to spend your time providing the offering, because there's no delivery of the content without you. So that's a difference. So, for example, this live teleseminar we're doing right now, David and I, this is an information service. We have to, at least at this point, we have to be talking, we have to be doing this, we have to be participating. The recording or the transcript of this teleseminar, which will result after we're done, that is an information product. So basically, if you've got something out there that people value, the ways you can deliver your information, it's really only limited by your imagination. So you actually want to do both, in my opinion. You want to have information products, you want to have information services. And that's why I'm a proponent of doing a full information product and service line, which is the second way that I approach infopreneuring a little bit differently.
So that's the second way. What's you mentioned there are three ways that you approach mm-hmm. infopreneuring differently from what others do. What's mm-hmm. did you mention the third way?
No, but I'm so glad you asked.
I'm glad you didn't say it.
Yeah, so no problem. Well, no, actually, technically I did say it, but I'll summarize it. The first way is really that I believe only original content creation, information products and services.
Oh,
that
right. Original.
Is, that
yeah,
is
yeah.
Original is very key because you have people out there that also will a lot of times will call themselves infopreneurs. And, you know, or they use the term internet marketer or they use the term information marketer together. And, you know, some people will call them all one and the same. And I, you know, I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with saying internet marketer, information marketer, but I prefer infopreneur because I think it goes at a different level, although there are some people out there on the internet kind of badly misusing it. And I did a blog post about this at whatyouknowisworthmore.com called What Gives Infopreneurs a Bad Name actually last week and about how the term infopreneur, I believe, is getting used incorrectly by that kind of get-rich-quick-on-the-internet crowd and that misuse is really causing a problem to some of us who really are putting together original works like you and I, David, and putting our knowledge out there in all the different ways people want to learn from it. Some people, you know, I mean, to me, like an internet marketer, to me, there's no such thing. And I know people were probably going, whoa, what do you mean, Melanie? There's people over the internet saying I'm an internet marketer. I don't think it's a profession. Internet marketing is not a profession. It's one part of the marketing function, you know, referring to the, you know, tactics and strategy you use to market something online. That's internet marketing. And there's no such thing otherwise than to me. And then information marketer, you know, the same thing. Like, that can imply, and actually so can internet marketer, it implies somebody who isn't creating original content. They may be using, of course it's legally, but they may be using private label rights to just distribute others' information. They may solely just be an affiliate for every program under the sun and not actually doing anything of their own. And again, not necessarily anything wrong with that, just not my business model to me for long-term staying power, for long-term building up your own fan base, like you talk about in your book, Be the Media, about like having 1,000 true fans. That's not going to do it, in my opinion. So that's why I like to do difference. So to recap, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and when doing it differently, I mean, does it take, you know, more resources, more money? I mean, does it take, you know, a lot of effort to get involved in infopreneuring?
Well, no, I mean, and that's one of the big advantages of it. You know, and that's why I always say that, you know, everybody could do this as a part-time thing. In fact, everybody should be. You know, this is your plan B. You know, even if you want to be an employee for the rest of your life, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I wish you all the best because it's a challenging world out there because even in good times, you know, technology happens, you know, mergers happen like they did to me in 97. You know, all these different things happen, so you never are as in control of your livelihood as you always may think you are. But what's great about entrepreneuring is it's flexible, can be done on the side, and there's no huge overhead. You don't have a fixed location. You don't have a franchise fee. You don't have a huge investment. You know, I mean, for example, you know, I'm using a more sophisticated system because I'm doing my teleseminars at a different professional level, and I also do teleseminars with others, and I also actually facilitate them for other people. Actually, you know, people pay me to do that as well. But, you know, somebody can get started and do a teleseminar with a free conference call line, and it's recorded, and you can sell it later. I mean, with your computer and the ability to use Adobe PDF or get access to Adobe PDF, you can turn, you know, something you wrote into an ebook. You know, you can record something using your computer microphone, have it transcribed, and that can be some kind of a product. So, you know, there's just no limit to really what you can do, and you don't need a lot of money. And what's great is I also teach people, because I'm very big on you don't have to have a huge budget to market the resulting information products and services that you have. You know, you can do a lot of no-cost and low-cost things. You know, and I know that you do the same thing, David. You know, that, I mean, we're just blessed at this time. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, even just look at social media, how you and I connected originally. I mean, you know, that's free. You just have to know how to use it appropriately. But, I mean, that's free to everybody out there. So you just don't need all this. You just need basically, you know, knowledge, your ability to want to do this, not let life completely get in the way. Realize that this should be something that's a sideline for you, or maybe it's something that is actually at the forefront for you, but it's something that anybody can do, you know. And again, like, you know, I teach people to do it by original content, by doing both information products and services, because anything that involves your personal time, you're always going to be able to charge more for that. you know, because people, the more direct access people have to you, the more you can charge for that and the more you should, because they're getting more attention. It may be at a group level, it may be an individual level, and that's kind of a differentiator there. And then the third part is thinking, you know, really thinking like I did back in corporate America, thinking like a product manager, a new product development person. You don't just think of, okay, I'm going to make an ebook out there. Because there's a lot of people out there and go like, oh, I know what information products are. I know, you know, or yeah, I call this an information service. I know what that is. And they think of one thing, and they go out there and they make that one thing, and they think that they've got it. And the thing is that they're leaving money, they're leaving audience on the table every single day. What I mean, like when I was in corporate America and I was VP of marketing, you know, when we made a product, you know, of course our products actually were services. That might be a little confusing to some people, but, you know, in my bank marketing days, for example, we didn't have one bank account. We had checking, we had savings, we had money markets, we had CDs, we had IRAs, and then we didn't even just have them, you know, in general. We had them for specific target markets. You know, checking wasn't just checking. It was student checking. It was checking for seniors. It was checking with interest. It was checking for lawyers. It was small business checking. So if you apply that model, which is the thing that I teach people to do, you know, and into all the different ways you can make money from what's in your head and, you know, motivationally what's in your heart, you know, then you can maximize your audience and revenue.
We think that's why I love chatting with you, Melanie. It's, you know, you're sharing some really big insights with some of the leading proponents of this model. You know, Janet Schweitzer, for example, who, you know, mm-hmm. proposed the product pricing curve where, you know, people will pay higher and higher amounts for personal experience with the author, with an artist, with a speaker, with an author. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love how... Yeah, we're talking to, again, Melanie Jordan. She's the author of What You Know Is More Than You Know, and she's got, you know, more than 15 years of experience in corporate America, in banking, in marketing, and more than 20 years of online and offline marketing experience, both in the big business as well as her own entrepreneurial pursuits. And, you know, some of the chapters in your book are just fantastic, you know, how to create, for example, chapter 13, how to create content your audience and bank account will love. You know, I just love that a lot of people are out there, you know, they're focused on the content, but they don't realize, you know, if they've got to make a living, you know, it's important to get a message out there, too, that will result in sales. And, again, you've done a great job in putting this 226-page book together. It's, again, 33 chapters, right?
Actually, 38. And it's interesting because now I'm working on the print edition of it, too, and it's actually come out a little longer because of book sizing. But, yeah, I want people – I'm glad you mentioned that because some people think, you know, there are people out there that will put out an ebook and, like, you know, it might be 10 pages, and they're charging $97 for it. You know, and I don't do that at all. But it's important people realize this is like a true book, you know, and it's going to be a true book, you know, in the future, too. So, you know, this is a real actual, you know, thing. This is not just like something, you know, somebody threw a few pages together and it's out there. So I'm glad that you're differentiating that because people say that and then it's a problem now.
You could sell this book for hundreds of times more than what you're selling it for. It really is a comprehensive guide, just packed with information. Where can people get more into the book? Where can people buy the book if they'd like to purchase it?
Sure. That's at whatyouknowisworthmorebook.com, and you can get it 24/7. And you have access to it instantly because at present it's an ebook format, but the print one is coming in the future.
And it's so detailed, Melanie. That's why I love it. You know, that's why I think we're spending a little bit of time getting everyone on the same page for the first half of the call. But what about people who are already entrepreneurs? They're already doing this. Is this for just emerging, authors and artists, or is it for folks who are out there, you know, experienced infopreneurs already?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely it is because that's some of the kudos that I appreciate the most is when somebody, you know, writes to me and say, you know, I thought I knew everything about, you know, what you're talking about, but, you know, I realized, hey, I didn't know as much as I thought I did, that you've delivered a totally different spin on it because people who, you know, already are doing something of it, I pretty much can guarantee if you read the book, you're going to find additional revenue streams that you're missing. You know, because, again, I carry out this thing to the max with my product manager mentality and the six components of my entrepreneur business model. You know, you basically are in a situation where, you can empower yourself and you can share your knowledge in so many different ways. And if you're just not carrying out to the, you know, 10th degree, you're not reaching everybody you could, and you're not, you know, getting the money from everybody you could. I mean, for example, like, you know, one of my first big clients, he originally came to me, and he just wanted me to ghostwrite a training manual for him. So I said, okay, you know, great, glad to do it. But, you know, I like to do this for all my clients when somebody hires me on a freelance basis. I won't just say, okay, you hired me for this, so that's all I do. I looked at the situation, I said, okay, you know, because he was thinking, well, I'll make this train manual, and I'll go out there, I'll do some live events, like in the good old days, and, you know, make some money and everything. I said, okay, that's fine, but do you realize with the knowledge that you have, if you actually, you know, let me go to town and kind of apply my model to it, you don't just have one information product here. You've got a full information product and service line of 99 different offerings. So, you know, I always like to say it's a story of 1 to 99. And ultimately, you know, he had a full range, he had a full plan when I was through with him for doing, you know, 99 different information products and services from one idea. And then he was able to, you know, charge anywhere from $29 for one of his lower end things all the way up to $25,000 for a super intensive product. Actually, it was really a service, for a super intensive service that he offered with a ton of his time involved. That was like for the creme de la creme. And I'm not saying anybody can go out there and go, wow, oh, that's great, I'll just sell one thing for $25,000, you know, or four things and I'll make $100,000 a year. I'm not saying that. You know, it depends on your level of expertise and what you're involved in. That's a very, very high end offering. But it is conceivable to do it. And you should always think that way. And that's the difference. All these people, they're pretty much, I can pretty much guarantee they're leaving money on the table.
And, yeah, I mean, you look at an example of an infopreneur like Alexandria Brown. She's done a great mm-hmm. job of getting the really high-end clients to be willing. You know, I think she's got not only a silver group but also a gold and a platinum, and now she has, I believe, a diamond group where they're paying, you know, six figures to meet with her, you know, four mm-hmm. times a year in a mastermind group setting of about a dozen people, and they meet at, you know, four-star resorts and, mm-hmm. you know, private islands. And it's mm-hmm. interesting because the higher end services that you can provide, if you can bring together like-minded individuals who are very driven, you know, they're paying six figures, they're looking to at least hit seven figures in income this year. So mm-hmm. she's gotten a group together that's again like-minded and sharing with each other almost in a, you know, a very collegial way. So yeah, I wouldn't, if you are listening, you know, certainly the high end, there is still a market for it, even though these are tough times. You know, there are people pulling in six, seven, eight figure amounts a year with certain programs and plans that they're doing. So I do agree with you. It's great to bundle up what you know and provide all the levels of service from the book that you have. And Melanie Jordan also has a podcast called What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know. And, you know, for those people in the podcast field, everybody knows Paul Colligan of, you know, Podcast Secrets. And he wrote the most wonderful endorsement of Melanie's work. That's right on her homepage. You know, he's thrilled with the book because, you know, he was feeling that most of the time you don't get the whole story and people basically try to upsell you, you know, more and more later. But he congratulates Melanie. He says, Melanie's book is extremely powerful, but also very realistic in its approach. It's a winning combo that you want to take a look at. And that's an endorsement by Paul Colligan. A lot of folks in the podcast world know of Paul. So Melanie has a book. She has a podcast. She does consulting. What else do you do, Melanie, as an infopreneur?
Well, one of the things that I really enjoy doing a lot is, you know, I enjoy doing the kinds of thing that we're doing now. I enjoy doing teleseminars and doing teletrainings, you know, so because not everything I do is just an open call for free for people. Because I was a trainer through a lot of my corporate time as well. Even in marketing, I had to train on, you know, new product introductions and sales techniques and things. So I always enjoy that. So I like that interactivity. I like to be able to train people, you know, worldwide. I mean, you know, I've had people that have been, you know, in my classes that have been, you know, from Chile, you know, like, or other parts of the country, and it's just really cool. Or even just if you look at a podcast and you say, hey, I'm just looking at all these different countries that people are downloading from, it's just stunning that people are listening. Some countries I'm kind of wondering, because I only speak English, you know, what they're doing, but I guess they're figuring it out. And then also I do coaching. In fact, I've got several, you know, coaching clients that just started with me, so I've actually been a bit busy helping them, and there's some really quality stuff that's going to be coming out from them. And I do email only coaching, and I do email plus phone coaching for people. And in the fall, I'm going to be starting group coaching by teleconference as well. And I really enjoy that because there's nothing like bringing along somebody and taking the information that's in the book. And, you know, again, just like Paul said, you know, you can take my book and you can go off and you can, you know, hopefully be this huge success. You don't need another thing from me because I didn't want to be like that. But, you know, some people, they like to have, you know that they can work directly with me. They like my style. They want to have somebody hold their hand and help them apply all the information specific to their situation and get a lot of input on it. So I do offer, you know, the coaching as well. And then for very select people, I do some marketing freelance work.
And I noticed on the copies of the book, you know, you also offer for a slight extra charge, a very reasonable extra charge, free lifetime updates, which I think is wonderful.
Yep. Yep, I do. Because, you know, the information is changing so much. I don't even upcharge for that. I mean, that just is included with the book purchase. They get lifetime updates because, you know, I think the information is changing so much. You know, I could be like, oh, okay, you know, go get What You Know's Worth More, you know, 2010 and 2011. And, you know, maybe for other things that could be business model later on, but not for the particular core book. This is the core knowledge I want everybody to have and I want everybody to be helped by. So, you know, I'm leaving that alone, and you know, basically all I ask is that basically once people buy the book, they just opt into my list. In fact, actually, people opt into my list first, they actually save money with a one-time offer they get when they actually join my list at whatyouknowisworthmorebook.com. So when you do that, if you join my list first, you'll get an opportunity to save money on the book.
That's fantastic.
Because I think it's that important to me to be able to communicate with you ongoing.
You know, there's one thing you say that I was a little confused on. Maybe you could clear up. You say
sure.
At one point that all infopreneurs are entrepreneurs, but not all entrepreneurs are infopreneurs. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I basically like to, you know, say that, you know, basically every infopreneur is an entrepreneur because they are always in the business of selling information, so by nature, they have to be an entrepreneur. But basically, not all entrepreneurs are infopreneurs because, you know, they're running their core business, and this is where a lot of them miss the boat, is that they're not seeing the fact that they actually have a whole secondary revenue stream from that successful core business that they have, or that's the successful core profession that they have. But I mean, they could be. They could easily be infopreneurs. I mean, for example, to kind of mention a story sort of about that, you know, I've got one person I know that bought my book recently. And, you know, I know, you know, directly because we were communicating quite a bit through Twitter first before he actually made a purchase, and I'm really happy that he ultimately did. And he's a fitness professional. And, you know, his business is working with people, you know, to train them, to help them with nutritional guidance, to help them with weight loss. And, you know, that's all well and good, but he can only do that within a certain area. That's his core business. But he's got a ton of knowledge in his head about fitness and nutrition and weight loss that, I mean, really it's not limited to his little, you know, corner of the world. He can be using that elsewhere. And as we kind of exchanged, and by the way, you know, the fact that I was working, you know, speaking with somebody via Twitter and then they made a purchase, so don't let anybody tell you that you can't be on social media and make money from it and sell stuff. You actually can. You just have to do it the right way. Because a lot of people say, oh, no, you can't do that. Yeah, you can. I do it all the time. But anyway, kind of going back to our story. So, okay, so he's got his, you know, core world. But then if you look at the situation, I mean, you know, who's to say that, you know, somebody in the whole other side of the country wouldn't love to have his knowledge about and his approach to fitness and weight loss? So he's going to put together an information product and service line so he can train people nationally and potentially even worldwide. But then the other trick is this is a big tip for people listening to this call that might not have thought of it this way. So you've got your core, you know, whatever you do is your core business or profession or your, you know, whatever you do. You know, whatever you do, the knowledge you have from that can be used and made into other things, products and services that you can sell, develop your product line. But then the other thing is that's a business-to-consumer model. He also potentially, should he want to, and a lot of businesses have this and don't think of it, they may have a business-to-business model. He may decide, you know what, I don't think I'm going to, you know, train people individually anymore. You know, I'm only going to work with them now as an infopreneur and share my knowledge that way. He may decide, you know what, it's no competition for me anymore. I'm going to teach other people who are in the fitness profession how to run a successful business in the fitness field. So then he's got a business-to-business market. So not only does he have his core stuff he does, He's got a business-to-business income stream. He's got a business-to-consumer income stream. So, you know, talk about, like, prior to, like, let's say, exchanging and conversing, he really only had one way to make money. Now he basically has three.
Yeah, and we're talking to Melanie Jordan, author of What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know. And Melanie has got such an empowering message to help people. She really is trying to help employees, you know, maybe get some second income and protect their financial future, folks who've been laid off recently, and then also entrepreneurs, you know, self-employed professionals, whether you're a blogger or a podcaster, whether you're doing it part-time or full-time. This is a book that's really all about empowering yourself and using what you know. And I just love that quote, the other quote, everyone knows something that's worth something to others. That's such an empowering thought. So just to sum up, Melanie, how does your book, What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know, help out these diverse groups, authors and podcasters and bloggers and coaches and trainers and speakers?
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, you know, I was kind of like this too, as I mentioned. You know, my first thought, you know, when I was younger was I always wanted to be a writer. You know, that's really all it was about. I was writing stuff at a very early age. I was published in my hometown paper, I believe I was about 8 years old. So, you know, my whole thing was about being a writer. But and I think everybody kind of who's a content creator, they sort of have one core thing that they do that's the first thing they think of, and they don't necessarily always think of all the different ways that their knowledge can be delivered to others. Because when we talk about, you know, thinking along lines being an entrepreneur, you want to be able to not leave out any of your audience or any money on the table because you haven't had a chance to, you know, share it in all the ways they want to learn from you. And that would be written word, audio, video, interactive, and some combination of all of those. So basically, if you're an author and all you think about is book, 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 And I have to say, like, that's, you know, and I gave a talk on this that actually I have for the Self-Publishers Online Conference earlier this year, and it was called Think Beyond the Book, and I have that on my site at thinkbeyondthebook.com as well, along with some other author services that I do provide. And, you know, I was trying to get, you know, people who just write a book and say, okay, book is great, but, you know, if you're just thinking book, that's a mistake. You're leaving money on the table. You need, you know, an infopreneur's mindset is what's going to give you the maximum audience and revenue. Because think about it, you know, if I had a coaching client once and I, you know, she was asking me some question. I said, well, you know, why don't you listen to my podcast? Because episode whatever, you know, tells you exactly the answer to that. You know, it'll just save us both a little time, you know, and let me focus on your other questions here. And she was like, well, no, I don't learn that way. And I said, well, like, all right, open your mind, you know, go listen to the audio, you know. And she's like, well, I just don't learn that way. And, you know, I thought about it, and it's like, you know, in a way she's right. You know, she has the right to learn the way she wants to learn. So if I gave her a copy of the transcript for that, she would be a happy camper. And ultimately, you know, I obviously went over and took care of her. But when you think about it, just like for me, I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm not as much of a video person as a lot of people are on the internet. If I go on a blog and I see, you know, an image and a little arrow to push right away, I'm going to look at that and go, oh, man, don't they just have something I could quickly eyeball and get the information I want? I got to actually sit and listen and watch this video. And, you know, that's not my favorite thing. But if you have your knowledge available in all those different formats, you're not going to lose anybody. You know, I'm not going to, you know, now that I'm starting to do video, I'm not going to lose the person that wants to watch what I know instead of just listen to it, read it, or interact with me in a teleseminar. So it's very important, and that's the message that everybody has. You know, if a speaker, if they just want to do, you know, written or they want to do speaking stuff, they may need to do, you know, some video work or some other work as well. So, you know, if you're a blogger, it's not just, again, the written word. You know, if you're a podcaster, you know, a lot of those people, they're like, hey, I just do audio or video. I don't do anything else. I don't do all this other stuff. And, you know, there's definitely easy ways for them to get their information, you know, out of the airwaves and and get it into a format that somebody doesn't want it that way will get it. So that's how the book, you know, helps people who are content creators at heart. It gets them out of their comfort zone and gets them thinking beyond whatever that core competency and comfort is.
So you want to be able to have your message or your information reach people wherever they are, you know, whenever they are and however they want to receive it, whether it's audio, print, or video, so you don't lose customers, so you gain a wider audience. So there's a much wider net of potential readers or viewers of your work. And again, that's a really empowering message. And I think the other thing that goes hand in hand with that is the technology changes today. You know, people are saying, oh my gosh, video, audio, you know, how do I do this? Well, things are so much easier today and so much less expensive than they've ever been before. So it's not that difficult also to outsource some of these activities.
Absolutely.
For example, you know, I know you use a service, Melanie, to transcribe your teleseminars and maybe your podcasts. I'm not sure,
yep.
but there's services out there that take care of this kind of stuff for you really, really inexpensively and with relatively high quality, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, I use and actually our sponsor of the What You Know is Worth More Than You Know, teleseminar series, you know, newmediatranscription.com, you know, they're the ones I trust to handle that kind of content for me. And, you know, you can easily, if you're somebody who's the audio video world, you can easily, you know, have a very quality service like that. Take your knowledge and you don't want to write, no big deal. You just have it transcribed and then, you know, reformatted the way it needs to be a true, you know, book or publication, whatever your goal is for it. So absolutely. And then, you know, just as you mentioned, you know, besides the audio, video, written thing, the interactive is so important because that goes into the information services world. And a lot of people, you know, they're leaving that out because they just want to do this hands-off, create it once kind of business model. And that's good, you know, works for some people. I just think you reach your maximum audience and revenue when you're willing to put in a little bit of your time in addition because the payoff is just so huge. It's so
right.
worth it.
And, you know, Melanie and I didn't prepare this in advance to do a product plug for newmediatranscription.com. But I can say that, you know, certainly if you do need help with your audio content, your podcasts and your teleseminars, you know, that would be a good place to go. Highly recommended by Melanie. She uses them. That's newmediatranscription.com. And again, I didn't mean to bring this up.
Well, that's okay. They're a sponsor, so they're going to love you forever, David. Yeah.
That's right. They'll love me forever, and that's good. And I'll share the love. Don't worry. And, you know, the wonderful things about these teleseminars, too, and having the content available in a number of different formats, like you said, you know, some people may not be on the call live, you know, with the beauty
right.
of the Internet. They can, you know, you can download it whenever you like to whatever portable device or computer you want. But the wonderful thing about having the transcript afterwards is, you know, just having that physical document in case you want to reference things. You can't highlight or mark up an audio broadcast, but you certainly save a page or two or have a couple of dog-eared pages from the transcript that were most important that you'd want to get back to and maybe, you know, pick up some of the tips or hints or suggestions or contacts from the call. So it's
great,
all important. As Melanie said, you really need to have all of those assets so that you're reaching people as widely as possible. And Melanie, you've done a great job in marketing on the net, but I've also been impressed with your social media skills. And
thank you.
Do you work on those? Do you mention those in the book or in your podcast? And you know, your successes with Twitter and Facebook and things like that.
Yeah, I do. I will be honest with you. That's one topic that I gave an intro in the book to, basically my philosophies on how I approach social media. Absolutely. There's definitely some very solid stuff on there. And I did also recently do a teleseminar training, and I'm actually having the recordings edited and everything now professionally so that that'll be ready for people
and
in the future who missed the training.
And that market, it's changing so fast. We had the same challenge with my book, Be the Media. We really understand that that field really is best taught online. You know, it's much easier
well,
to
it
show
is.
Twitter
it is.
Facebook than to actually
oh, yeah, it's changing
it.
Constantly.
It's constantly
yep.
changing. So that's a dynamic field and one that is ripe for an infopreneur to
right.
give lessons on and classes on as well. And that's
oh,
the wonder
yeah.
of your business, Melanie. I mean, people can jump in with whatever it is they're good at. And, you know, you take these teenagers who were just so, you know, adept at MySpace and building these giant friends lists, and you just think, gosh, you know, there's so many talented people out there who have this knowledge, and then you have other people who really need help with Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, experienced executives and large corporations
mm-hmm.
who haven't quite figured it out. So if you're out
oh,
there
yeah.
and you're listening and you've got some, you know, Facebook skills and other social media skills and blogging skills, there are people and organizations out there that are willing to pay you for it. And Melanie Jordan is the author of and the expert in this field. Is her book is What You Know is Worth More Than You Know, and I highly recommend it. She's done a wonderful job tying all this together, and she's really out there trying to help people, especially during these tough economic times.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate that. And, yeah, if people are interested in the – I keep the social media stuff a little separate from this also because some people aren't, although they should be, not always interested in the whole infopreneuring marketing side of things, but they do want to know about that. So if people want to just check out that information, it's strategicsocialmediamakeover.com. And that goes into a ton of in-depth of how I handle everything efficiently and strategically in my social media, doing the delegate balancing act that you need to if you're a business person on social media sites. So that's something else people can check out. So let's see. I know probably I've like overwhelmed a lot of people with all the information I'm giving here, but I actually do see there's one question right here that just popped up on my screen. If we have a minute here, I'd like to take because it would actually hit home the example. Yeah, the wonders of the internet, exactly. Well, that's why this teleseminar system I use is really cute. It's almost like a cockpit for a pilot, you know, and you've got like all these different things happening, you know, that you have to kind of keep an eye on. And it's like, oh, there's a question, great. But I like that, you know, I appreciate that. And I think we've got Bob, who is asking, how would intrapreneuring and basically how would my concept work for a freelance writer and editor? And I think that that's a, you know, I appreciate the question. I appreciate you participating, you know, as well, because sometimes, you know, you see a lot of people there, but not everybody's bold enough to ask a question. And basically, the answer to that, Bob, is it would actually work out very well. Think about, you know, what you do, okay? You do this writing and editing work. So in addition to being able to perform this service for others, you're going – a lot of people sometimes will go from a product to a service model. You're actually already doing a service. So what you would be doing is you would be taking your knowledge about writing and editing and sharing that with others. You, again, also could have the whole business-to-business and the business-to-consumer model that I was kind of talking about with the fitness professional before, because you could put together an information product and service line about effective writing, effective editing skills, you know, teaching people how to do a good job with that. And then you have the whole aspect of the career of being, you know, basically how do others do a good job and how do others get into freelance writing and editing. And then you could, you know, for the business market, you know, you could put together training. Maybe some businesses don't have the budget to, you know, hire somebody all the time, but they would certainly like to learn a little more, bit more about how they could use this in their business. So you can definitely have people that would do that as well. So you've got like three different models also. So, you know, and a lot of times that's what happens. I'll get somebody who's a fiction writer and they'll say, okay, but I write fiction, Melanie, you know, how does this help? Or, you know, I'm a comedian, how does this help? Same idea. You're taking what you know and you're teaching it to others. So a comedian can teach others how to put together effective comedy, you know, how to deliver effectively, you know, how to market yourself and get booked at clubs, you know, all these different things, you know. It's the same thing for a fiction writer. They can teach others how to put together great fiction, how to market fiction. So, again, even if you don't have a business kind of thing, you can still use that same model, you know, even if you're not a, quote, you know, nonfiction sort of topic that you know. So I hope that helps you out, Bob.
That was a great question. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, that was a great question. Somebody's really paying attention. All right.
Yeah, we're talking to Melanie Jordan. This is David Matheson, and we're here with Melanie Jordan, the author of What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know, a very inspiring and empowering book that helps just so many diverse groups of people. And it's really wonderful that you took the time to put all this into one volume, Melanie. Again, 38 chapters, right?
38.
over 226 pages. It's a real... complete guide to infopreneuring and marketing, and from the unique perspectives of Melanie Jordan, who's, you know, again, had 20 years experience both online and offline marketing, and she really knows her stuff. There's a lot of really great material in here. I was always wondering, like, Melanie, what's your what do you like to create the most out of all the information products and services? What's your favorite?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm still always going to be in my biggest comfort zone with the written word. You know, so obviously I love to write, you know, always have, always will. But I have to tell you, like, I think the two things that I like now the most, you know, besides writing, would be the teleseminars, because it goes back into my ties back into my corporate world work that I really did enjoy, of training others, you know, and coaching. So that it ties into all that. I like that, bringing along somebody. I mean, maybe I would have been a teacher if you didn't have to, you know, basically go through a whole bunch of credentials. But I actually am a teacher. It's just that I kind of do it my own way. I don't have to jump through any hoops in the school system, no credentials. And then the other thing really is the podcasting, and I'm going to be having a premium podcast. Right now, What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know, the podcast, at whatyouknowisworthmorepodcast.com is free weekly program. But I will be having a premium level one coming out with more intense information that there will be a charge for, but it's going to be so worth it. And I love doing that because it ties back in college. I was a DJ, so I used to have my own radio show and a countdown show and everything. So I always kind of, that was one of those roads not taken, but ultimately it kind of came back to me because now I have my own weekly show anyway. So it sort of worked out. So I would think that those are the newest things. I guess the verbal things are the next favorite thing of mine.
Yeah, and I would think some video as well. Like you do have a lot of material already in audio content, podcasts, mm-hmm. and teleseminars, and you know it's pretty quick to maybe just, instead of using you know, live images, just snapshots of the book or summaries of what you're discussing on screen. I think that would be a really powerful tool as well, to put up on YouTube or your own page or a video blog. But yeah. Of course, you know, if everybody would get to see you, you know, this is the age of social media. And Melanie is just wonderfully gracious to put all this together into one book, into one package, where you'd have to, you know, I know in the past when I look at all the different titles of the chapters in your book, Melanie, you'd have to go to a lot of different places to put to basically get all this information. The great thing about what you've done here is you've just put it all in one place, from managing your bank accounts to getting, you know, the six components of the core infopreneur model and choosing a topic. Just a real great compilation. So we're very grateful to you for all the work that you put into this. Thanks, Melanie.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate that. So, okay, well, I do appreciate your time. You know, you've been gracious, and I know it's your different time zone. For me, it's like just coming up on dinner time, but for you, I know it's late, much later in the East Coast, and with all the different people I have listening, they can be all different kind of time zones, too. So,
all those people
I think
from Australia, hello.
Yeah, really. So I think that, you know, you've been really gracious with your time, and, you know, hopefully I've shared a lot of great information, and people have know a little bit more about me, know more about the book, What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know, and that hopefully they've really enjoyed what they've heard tonight. So I think we'll kind of wrap this up here. So basically, I want to thank everybody for being part of the special event and the What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know free teleseminar series. Or if you're on the replay in the future, I thank you for listening in the future. And I thank you again, David. We've been also joined and graciously joined by David Matheson, author of Be the Media, and that's available at bethemedia.com. And the good folks at newmediatranscription.com have made calls like this possible with their generous sponsorship. So I just would like to leave you all with one last thought. You know, for those of you who are checking out this interview either right now with me or in the future, you know, I really, really believe that everybody needs to explore all the avenues that are open to us, you know, for getting the greatest empowerment in our personal lives and our work lives. You don't want to leave any stone unturned when it comes to maximizing your audience or revenue based on your knowledge. And if you think just a little bit outside the box, every small business, every entrepreneur and professional, every individual for that matter, you've all got the ability to take control of your lives and get paid for what you know beyond whatever your core work is. So if this concept intrigues you, you know, please do yourself and your loved ones the biggest favor and learn about my six-component infopreneur business model, how to develop a full information product and service line, the way I've been kind of scratching the surface on, you know, how to do a dozen low and no-cost marketing strategies that are going to help ensure your success, and so much more. And get a copy of my book, What You Know Is Worth More Than You Know, Achieving the Life You're Meant to Have by Making Money from What You Know. And you can just go to whatyouknowisworthmorebook.com and get your copy 24/7. I'd really love to help you empower yourself and achieve the maximum amount of money and audience from your knowledge and get to the life that you want to get to. So once again, this is Melanie Jordan, everybody's infopreneur coach, along with David Matheson, author of Be the Media, and we both wish you maximum success, and you take care.